Hey.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Let's have an unstructured talk about conference talks, and specifically like prepping to give conference talks, because you know that I have a little bit of almost anxiety, I guess, about writing proposals and submitting them, because I feel like I'm never going to get accepted, or what do I know, or that kind of thing.
So your fear of getting rejected?
I think maybe, which is really funny. I don't have a fear of failure, but being rejected is one of those things that I guess it bothers me a little bit. It might also be because you literally never get any feedback, which sucks.
Yeah, there are a few conferences. Conferences nowadays, a lot of them have been asking, like, if you wait, they'll say, wait a few weeks, and if you want feedback, just email us and we'll ask you why. So I've done that a few times. But honestly, dude, like, I have a Trello board that keeps track. Like, I don't know how to get over that, but you just have to get over that, because you're going to get rejected no matter how good you are or how poor you are. Like, I submitted to, I think there's like 50 something cards in my rejected, and probably about 10 or 15 approved from this year.
That's a really good acceptance percentage.
Yeah. There's actually 1, 2, 3. I had to say no to 4 conferences last year.
Gotcha.
No. This year and last year.
Is it because you like double booked or?
Double booked. One was in Melbourne, Australia, and they said they accepted me like 2 weeks before the conference started.
Oh.
And I was like, there's no way I'm going to Australia in 2 weeks. Yeah. Just other stuff. Codebeam, I had to say no to, which is a bummer.
Yeah, that is a super bummer too, because I was like, that's the biggest Elixir conference.
I know, I'm going to resubmit to that this year. So yeah, so anyway, I was just saying, like, you're just going to get rejected, man. Like, it's nothing personal. Also, I don't, like, to me, when I think about that, like, there's no way if I was running a conference, like, I could give every talk submission the attention and credit that it deserved in order to know. Yeah, so... And the research, like, so some of these are just, you know, by luck, you know, so.
I think there's also a skill to writing the abstract that I don't think I have.
Sure. I don't have, like, that either.
I haven't done it enough times to, well, see, I would think you maybe do, because as far as I know, most of the time it's like people for every 10 submissions they make, they get like one accepted. And so if you spoke at 15 and didn't speak at, you know, 50, then that means that you're batting more like 200 instead of 100.
I think I'm good at writing the title of the talk, not the abstract. And I think the title of the talk is more important than the abstract, obviously, because I think people see that. If you just put an introduction to React Native, that's less likely to get picked than, you know.
Let me come up with it. Like, I'm going to pitch you my talk idea and you critique me on some of the things. Okay,
cool.
So I was thinking about submitting to RubyConf Australia. Specifically, I'm just spitballing like titles of a talk right now. I want the title to be like, deploying your Ruby app doesn't have to be scary. And you're kind of my target audience for this, because you don't do a lot of like deployment stuff on your own. You've used Heroku historically a lot in the past for Ruby apps.
Yep.
And I kind of want to show the alternatives to that, or like what it takes if you're working on like a small application and you still want to get more performance out of the $5 a month you want to spend, what it looks like if you want to have, you know, continuous deployment with like rolling restarts and the things you need for a more production ready application, and going from there.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
So a few things. The title, I would actually go. So the reason I use Heroku is not because it's scary. The reason I use Heroku is because it's easy. It's easy. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to think about it. So if it was like a talk about, like, you could have all the benefits, not all the benefits, but you could deploy without spending a lot of time for maintenance, or, you know, if it was around that would be more useful to me.
Oh, and that's really the target.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Like, so I wouldn't say like it's scary. I would actually, for your title, I would either use like actual, like, say Heroku, like, you know, you don't always have to go with Heroku, you know, colon, you know, learn how to deploy your apps with the benefits that you get from PaaS or something. I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, I would lean less towards the scary angle and more towards the convenience angle.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Cause that's really the thing. And I love Heroku for what it is, but I think.
Well, it's expensive as shit too.
Yeah. That's the problem is it's like, it's really low value for your dollar, right? All they have nailed up is the convenience factor.
I wouldn't say that in the beginning. Like, I will spend $7 all day long on some piece of shit thing. But like Tattoo, I spend almost $500 a month on it.
Which is insane. I don't know what Tattoo scaled up to now, but I'm willing to bet you could get the exact same performance, if not better performance, spending $20.
Cool.
Besides email delivery stuff. That's like working, you know, that gets a little bit weird because that's like transactional, but...
Yeah, but like, okay, I want to add monitoring and logging to my application. Like, is it more than just clicking two buttons? You know, those are the types of questions I would ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I guess it depends on what you're really valuing there. If it's like time and convenience versus money.
Yeah. By the way, I love this talk. I know I started with a negative. I would definitely go to this talk because I would be spending, you know, a lot less money, and I wouldn't like to know about the convenience and the ease of
what I want to talk about, and maybe it's too much stuff for a talk. I guess I didn't look to see what the RubyConf talk slots are like for this one, like lengthwise, because ideally I think there are a couple different things people are kind of going to want to know. And maybe these are things that I only care about because I've deployed Ruby apps for a while now and worked on the intricacies of making sure deployments are good and you don't have to sweat it. And like, it just rolls out like a charm, mm-hmm. But you want to know a little bit about like the performance that you're getting out of things is good to know. And then like the ease of doing the deployments, but that comes with like other things that a lot of people don't even consider, like the concept of a rolling restart or getting your zero downtime deployments as a thing. I'm like, is that for a talk like this? If my target audience is somebody who deploys to Heroku, is the idea of a zero downtime deployment too far from like or rolling your own zero downtime deployment too far from that particular ease factor of pushing your Git repository up to a thing and then magically eventually it gets deployed?
Well, that's important to me because not only deployment, but I don't know how many people know this, but Heroku restarts your app once a day, no matter what you do.
Yeah, which is a problem too.
It's a definite problem, especially with Tattoo. Like that brings down every single bot once a day, every day. Yeah. And the time is random. You can't control when they do that. The fact that they do that is kind of like a hack to me. Like, why do you need to restart everybody's apps?
Do they do that for the sake of like, if somebody has a memory leak, they just shut it down so it frees up memory or what's it?
I don't know why. I read about this before and there's information out there about why, but I don't think it's based on what your app does. I think it's something with their architecture and their environment.
Gotcha. So I'm really just not sure where I want to go with that. Cause I think at the basic level, when you're deploying like a Ruby app and you can still just do something like a Capistrano, right? Where it's just like, hey, I just want to run this command and it's going to push my application to a server over like SSH and get it running.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that as a thing, or then you can move into like containerized applications, which I think are actually pretty awesome. I love Docker. You're not a big fan from what I remember, but
I'm not a big fan of doing it locally.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. The big reason that I've been a fan of that for quite a while is that you get dev prod parity out of the box. Like you're never deploying your application on a Mac. So why do you run it on a Mac locally?
Right. But the number of times that has bitten me, I can count on one hand. And it's usually something to do with, it's more likely to do with a configuration issue or, you know, something that wasn't.
Yeah, it's, right yeah, that's exactly it. It'd be like a configuration issue or a dependency installing some sort of like mm-hmm. a C extension kind of issue. But there are net wins with that stuff. And then that gets you into kind of the rolling restart sort of things using some different tools and like how this can all tie into, you can tell I've been working in like DevOps land for a long time now.
That's the other thing that I like about you doing this talk is like you're obviously an expert on this stuff because you deal with it, you know, pretty much every day when you're, you know, teaching others about it. So that's what I like about this. And the other reason I like this talk too is because nobody's talking about this stuff anymore. Like, it seems like the whole Ruby industry has like said, okay, Heroku's our thing, and that's what we're going to use, and just that's the default.
Which is really funny to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, like, you look at the big, you know, the most successful Ruby applications, they don't use Heroku. Like, I can guarantee you they don't. Mm-hmm. Right. But you're talking like huge things where they have different engineering departments for these things. But I think for the benefits for once you get past the initial convenience hurdle, because it honestly is probably a little bit. Do you have like automated hooks to deploy to Heroku from like GitLab or whatever, or GitHub when you merge pull requests and stuff? OK, you do. Good. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the convenience of like pushing Git to do a thing kind of doesn't even exist unless you're doing it locally, because it would be part of your CI setup anyway, right? Like whether it has to run three commands to deploy a thing or it has to run Git push to deploy a thing, like it's still equally convenient after the initial setup. And that initial setup doesn't have to be as complicated or as tricky as I think a lot of people make it out to be. And then once you get it figured out once, you can kind of use it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, dude, I would, I like the idea of the talk, but I would definitely go towards more of the, also, with the Git, but the Git stuff is just a hook. It's not like you can't set that up yourself if you wanted to have that, right?
Like especially with
like GitHub Actions and stuff. It doesn't
seem like... that's the thing, is I wouldn't probably do it with a Git push most of the time anymore. Mm-hmm. Like because you would use a different tool. Normally Git's not really the right tool for the job in the sense that Git doesn't run the application. Like it doesn't initialize the chain of things that have to happen in order to go from an application that is running, getting a new version of the application running, and then swapping over traffic from one to the other. Mm-hmm. The Git isn't the thing that actually handles that behind the scenes. And you kind of have to learn those things in order to move off of Heroku. But the things that are there are not that complicated either. Like Capistrano is the normal one, or at least it was last time I used it for something that I wasn't containerizing, but it, you know, it has the steps in there of like, okay, when I push or when I run this command, I want you to, you know, do this, which is basically like, you know, send a signal to the application to stop accepting new traffic, start sending traffic to this new version of the application, and drain out the old stuff, and then you're good to go. But that's like one config file that you can kind of set up one time. So it's really not a whole lot different than having like a foreman file on your Heroku-based app.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm okay, cool. Like, that's a good angle. Focus on convenience, not assuming people are afraid to deploy their own stuff.
Now, the bad thing is, while you were talking, I looked up the RubyConf Australia stuff to see how long the talks are. And they don't, in their paper call, they don't specify it, which is bad on their part. But they do have the previous years listed. And so I went and looked at some, and they seem to be all 25 minutes long.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That is not ideal for this talk.
No, it's not.
You know what? Maybe I'll still write it and submit it there, but just on the assumption that odds are it'll probably get rejected. But if it does get accepted, then I have to be concise about it, which is nice. And that's a good constraint to have sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also going to submit to this just because it's Australia. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of run out of like Ruby talks.
Yeah. Well, so. You've been trying to do a lot more Elixir, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So most of my work is in Elixir, most of my new work. So Elixir and React Native and JavaScript. So anyway.
Do you have any talk ideas that you're kicking around?
Yeah, I've got a new one that's kind of based on the stuff we've been doing with Chronic. I have one called 3 Apps, 1 Codebase, which talks about using React Native with React Native Web and kind of what the tricks and tips are there so you can use the same components across different platforms.
Yeah,
and
that truly sounds good.
Yeah. I got rejected. So speaking of getting rejected, I got rejected from a few conferences. I started submitting this like late this year, and none of them got accepted. And one of the feedback was, I think it was from ReactConf, was like, we've used React Web before in production applications, and it's just not possible to have this work in a production application. I was like, I've done two production applications with this, and it's worked. So it might not have been ReactConf, so I don't want to like call them out, but
I'm going to assume you're paraphrasing that, but if somebody's like, it's just not possible, I'm like, how arrogant is that person?
Yeah, I know. I have the quote right here, but I'll find it. But the problem that I have with like, that I do with conference talks is the actual abstraction is sometimes it's my first draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I never go back and update it. Like once it starts getting accepted, I'm like, oh, this is good. But I think your conference talks, especially as you do them, should probably evolve and update as you learn new things, especially like after you get done writing your first talk, like the first time you write it, mm-hmm. it doesn't turn out the way that your abstract is, like hardly ever. That's something that I'm going to start doing, is just updating it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because honestly, like I think about it and I'm like, I've realistically been accepted to speak at one conference ever. And that was giving the two talks at Beer City Code, which was kind of a funny jump to have zero talks ever given at a real conference to giving two in the same day.
But, yeah, you haven't really submitted to a lot that I know about.
I've submitted to a fair number of like Elixir conferences and.
Yeah, Elixir is hard, man. Elixir conferences.
Yeah, well, especially because, I mean, I bet my lack of confidence shows in my abstract. You know what I mean? Like, well, and even then, I think I submitted to Elixir conferences with like doing soft talks too, because I was like, I don't think I have the Elixir chops right now, but I would really like to get in with the community. And so maybe I'll see if I can get an unrelated sort of talk. Like, I wrote a talk about like teaching your team, like leveling up your team.
Mm-hmm.
As a person who, you know, I'm an educator now. Like this is what I do, is I teach people how to do things. And there's so much stuff that people don't understand about the learning process or what it really takes to mentor junior developers or really teach people new skills. They assume it's like, oh, just go watch a video or whatever. And that's like never actually the way you're going to learn it. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'll write a talk about this to kind of give like my tips as a person who like teaches thousands of people remotely but interacts with students on a one-on-one basis pretty frequently too, what it's like to actually go about teaching. And like never got that one accepted, which I was like, that's when I was pretty confident in how I had written it. And I'm just like, I can't believe this is not actually something somebody like any conference is interested in, because this is a very valuable thing, which seems odd to me.
Yeah, man, it's just like who you're submitting it to, who's looking at it. It's just kind of there's a lot of luck involved. So I would just keep submitting that talk as well, because that talk sounds amazing as well. The feedback I got from that, my three apps, one code base talk, was it was not selected because it's considered an introductory talk, which again is not the case, because this is like not something I read on the internet and like, and shown in some demos. And then they go on to say, also, we haven't seen many real life project where such an approach works, with the exception of some very specific use cases. So that to me just says like my whole abstract is pretty much off. Like they're, for some reason, they're thinking it's introductory and I can't talk to their real life. But I do in my abstract talk about how I've done it in real life production applications. So it just speaks to like the abstract is off. The other thing I found useful is putting my abstracts on, like I use gists on GitHub, and that way it's an easy way to share it. It's an easy thing to bring up when you're like submitting to these talks. You can just bring up your abstract, cut and copy and paste in there and stuff like that. So I've like putting those on gist and then sending those around to people, and you can have revisions and things like that. So.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't want to take up too much time, but this was a great, just off the cuff conversation here. Thanks for giving me feedback on the talk idea that I have. That'll help out. And I'll send you over the abstract once I actually write it, and you can critique me a little bit if you want. But
awesome, man.
All right. Well, talk to you later, dude.
All right. See ya.